Today I'm speaking with Leanest Lifestyle Success, Tom Freisleben. Hello, Tom. How
Hello,
you doing?
Coach, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Hey, welcome to the telephone interview today. And what part of the country am I calling you from?
I'm in Northern California.
Northern California. Well, what I'd like you to do, if you would, is just please tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What's your background a little bit? And, you know, give us your age and height and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm 42 years old. I'll be 43 in March. I'm a construction worker. I'm a general foreman for a crew that installs HVAC work in a building. So basically, if you breathe air or if air moves in a building, that's what I do for a living. Been doing it for 21 years. I currently stand 6'1". Today's scale was 188.8. Finished the challenge at about 181, but that was thoroughly without creatine in my butt. Nothing. I was pretty empty and dry at that point. I've since rounded back up a little bit.
How about married, kids, anything all
that? Karen and I have been together for 18 years, and Karen and I actually, we're in December now, and I joined the LL December of last year, and that December 1st or 2nd of last year, we went on a little toy run, a Santa Claus toy run on a motorcycle ride, and that day we went to the beer pub here in town and had basically our last meal, and we both said, we're going on a diet, we're doing something to change. And in that month of December last year, I joined LL later in the month, and Karen went on to Weight Watchers for a little bit. Spent a couple months there, and then she started following me. And to date, when I got down to 180, where I finished out the summer challenge, at that point I was down 75 pounds, and at that point Karen was down 65 pounds.
Well, you definitely know how to cut right to the chase and give us the facts in nothing but a quick manner, no doubt about it. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I got to back up just a little bit, because I know you've done fantastic, and you know people can kind of already see that 75 pounds. I mean, that's a tremendous load off, and the fact that you've now been here a year, you've kind of set a mouthful in short order. But
sorry.
That's okay. But last December, that's when you found us. Now that's unusual. That's the first thing I want to say. It's somewhat unusual for someone to say December 1st that they're going to do something.
The first or the second was a Sunday, whatever that Sunday was on this bike ride we went on. But I had learned of the Leanest Lifestyle through the Power Store. I was a customer of the Power Store for a while, and I found them, I don't know how, internet search engines of some
right.
sort, but I'd been a customer for a while. And some guy named Greenwalt would send me these messages every now and then, and last November, I had a doctor appointment, a standard appointment I went to, and the doctor said, you know, you got to lose some weight, your blood pressure's up, you got to do something. And I got this message from Mr. Greenwald, and the gist of it was, when is the right time?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, and I just read it, and I saved it. It came in like the end of November, and I saved it on my email and just left it there. And then when Karen and I both, like I said, we went out for lunch after this motorcycle run, I just kind of dug that thing out, and I said, okay, let me start. And what I did is I started back on my old methods of just trying to do it on my own.
Right.
And it took about 2 or 3 weeks of, you know, messing around. That's when I decided, what the heck, this LL program, it ain't costing me nothing if I don't like it, and
mm-hmm.
let's go for it. And I became active on the boards probably just after Christmas, and I'm still there today.
Yeah, the rest is history, no doubt about it. Well, what's your history like with weight, Tom, and fitness and the whole thing? Or were you active in sports? What's it been like since high school? Where's your weight been?
Sports. I played, you know, playing around the schoolyard after school was always something pretty basic for me. But I was always a big kid. I remember in sixth grade, my teacher then, because I was telling the story how we went to a smorgasbord thing with another family. They didn't believe my age because I was so big.
Mm.
They didn't want to give me the child's price. And in sixth grade, I was about 5'10 and 150 pounds. And in ninth grade, which is the last year of junior high for me, the high school was 10, 11, 12, but in ninth grade, I was 6 foot, 237 pounds.
Mm.
When I graduated high school in 1979, same 6'1", 245. I had trouble making weight for wrestling at 240. So I graduated at 245, and in my early 20s, I got up to about the mid-260s. Didn't stay there too long, and I dieted my way back down to the 240 range. But I've been in between 230 and 240, I would say 95% of my adult time. Once, while doing like a metrics program of some sort, just logging your calories and stuff,
mm-hmm.
to say, you know, percentages or anything. Once I got down to about 210, and that was the lowest I have been as an adult, bar none, until joining this program. I always walked around at 220-plus, usually 230-plus. I've always been a double-X Ben Davis shirt-wearing guy,
mm-hmm.
always a size 40 in the jeans, 42s maybe, never anything with a 30s on it, never.
Right.
Just didn't happen. And that's been, you know, I'm going to be 43, Coach. It's been a lot of years.
How many years did you say you've been married now to Karen?
18
years. So when you married her, you were 240, 250, 260,
I don't know. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got to ask, you shot up faster. You were an early physical mature as far as height goes,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, 5'10 in sixth grade and all this kind of stuff, you know, within 150 pounds, though. So you were fairly tall and lanky. What happened? Were you eating poorly even then, but you grew so fast that you were able to kind of outrun it?
All I remember is as a kid, and my dad was in the same trade I was, and mom worked nights for AT&T, you know, long-distance operator.
Mm-hmm.
And all I remember is there was always, you know, usually beef for dinner. There was always a box of ding-dongs and potato chips and sodas, always, around the house. And my father was not, my father was a lean guy, didn't bother with that crap. And mom was just there just to keep us kids happy. But if you look at pictures of me when I was young, I must have been a whiny little whatever, because all this fat food has always been around me. And so I know growing up, and vegetables were not a part of my program.
Right.
And I was very smart back then because mom would say, you know, you're not leaving the table till the veggies are gone. But she had to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd be out the door on her way to work, and, you know, my dad wouldn't make me sit there and linger at that thing sitting on the plate.
Right.
So it was a lot of beef, a lot of potatoes, and wasn't, you know, the fruit was, the healthy diet that I eat now was not pushed upon me at all back then.
Okay. So had you tried any structured diet programs prior to finding the leanest lifestyles other than the metrics thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
I
looked at things. I looked at it and said, I'm not doing it.
Right. I got to ask then. There are a lot of different things out there. Now, right now, you know, the big hype is, you know, these fad things are, there's Atkins, South Beach, you name it. You know, these things are really getting a lot of press right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically bestseller of the week. And there's a lot of different things out there. In fact, there's people and companies that spend millions of dollars on their marketing to get you to say yes to their program. We're a much smaller company, don't have those kind of dollars. We pretty much rely on other members referring other members. But with that being the case, how come nothing got you?
Well, I read and I analyze, and I think I'm somewhat bright. And I look at a lot of these things, and I look at it, and there's too many ways out. And there wasn't, the metrics thing was pretty decent because it gave me a calorie range for my height and weight and said, you know, here's 80% numbers, here's your 100% calorie
right.
numbers, and 110, whatever the numbers, the sets were. But when I got the Leanest Lifestyle book and I looked at it and got to use the tools, wait a minute, this thing tells me how many calories to have, and then if I do some exercise, how much exercise, it gives me a little more calories, or tells me how much exercise a week to do, or it spits me out this plan in front of me. If I want to lose 20 pounds, it may be 11 weeks based on what I want to eat, or maybe 22 weeks based on what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
how fast I want to lose. But the bottom line is everything was laid out. It was all put in front of me, and it was presented to me more like a science, and just it was put to me, follow this and you will succeed, and what have you got to lose?
That makes sense. So it was just something that finally clicked with you, and none of the smoke and mirror stuff was going to win you over.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
That's very unusual, I got to say. You know,
well, I think you covered the bases, or, you know, the LL covers the bases. It answers my questions. I would read, and, you know, I have a question in my head, and I'd be reading, oh, here's the answer to this. And everything was just put in front of me. It was just, mm-hmm. here it is, black and white, go.
Right.
All you have to do is implement it.
Well, I think you said, but when you very first found the Leanest Lifestyle in December of 2002, what did you weigh then?
In November, when I started thinking about going on a diet, I was about 252.
Okay.
And right around 250 on December 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And when I joined LL, I was probably, you know, 245. I'd been about 3 weeks of lifting on my own, watching what I was eating on my own. So probably when I officially joined in late December, I'd list myself as 242.
And the lowest you got to during this summer challenge was about 180?
179.
That's just incredible. So do you have any idea at all how your body fat changed as well? Were you able to kind of get a gauge on that? It's pretty tough when you're 250.
Yeah, and I was, you know, looking at other pictures and stuff. I'm guessing 30%.
Mm-hmm.
After I joined the LL, and probably about March, so 3 months into it, I bought a handheld body fat analyzer, and at that point it said 26%, and I've since now converted to calipers. I do calipers on me all the time.
Right.
But if I was 26%, which would be generous, I mean, I'm sure I was 30. I'm walking around under 10%. Last night I measured myself, I was 9.5.
Yeah, that's awesome. What I remember talking to you at different points during your transformation and during the weight loss, and I remember you saying something that just sticks out in my mind is that a lot of this, I think just because that's how your brain works, and just from what you were saying about, you know, how you just completely blew off the other programs because there was just too many holes in them, you had said that, you know, in some ways, I don't know what the big deal is because all I do is exactly what you've written in the book and it works. That's, I just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about how, you know, some people try to make it way more difficult and you hear other members really, really making things way too difficult and not in a judgmental way. You were just kind of scratching your head going, well, I don't know about you or anyone else, but I just do what's written in the book and it works.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, was there anything harder than you thought it would be during this entire process? Was there anything easier, or was it all about what you expected?
Well, I didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
And I didn't really find anything difficult. I just had to make some adjustments and get out of my comfortable groove of life and make some living adjustments.
What was that comfortable groove? What was a 250-pound Tom's eating day like?
Oh, whatever fast food I wanted. You know, if I'm hungry, just grab whatever's there. And Karen's a great baker. And, she, I mean, it'd be normal where she'd bake a batch of cookies. You know, A, I take them to work in my lunchbox. B, they're on the counter when I come home.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm hungry, walk into the deli, grab a whatever on whatever bread and whatever mayo and whatever. And I also, you know, Budweiser after work was like, here we go.
Okay.
Dinner, pizza one night, Chinese food the next.
Okay.
That is, you know, I still do some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, here I am 12 months later, I'll really say to people that are new to the LL, you're really overdoing it. You really got to, it's the consistency thing that you got. You don't have to go in here hardcore. You just have to be consistent. Make some changes and do them consistently and stay on that path. I see people beating themselves up because they just had a big Thanksgiving meal over the weekend.
Right.
You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get back on track again and get going.
Right.
Realize that you got a carb pop for a couple of days and drink your water. And it'll go away and get back into the gym. Don't dwell on it.
Right. Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know
exactly it. Get going and move on. It's the consistency that you got to do with this thing, or any program, I imagine. But you got to stay at it. You can't just say in 2 weeks from now I'll be done with this. There's no end. This is not a diet where there's an end to.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling people I'm not on a diet. I'm on a lifestyle.
Exactly.
And
so well said, Tom. So well said.
Well, it's the truth, and I mean, there's nothing in your book I can argue with. There's certain things in there I don't do, but I'm running, you know, 8/10 of a straight line here, and you can just,
right.
You know, I can show you, you know, before and after picture, and here I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, your navigational system knew how to keep you close enough to the straight line between, you know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And your navigational system was able to keep you close enough to that line as you zigzagged back and forth it. You know, back and forth across it, that, you know, as I say, was Tom perfect? No.
Nope.
Did Tom have to be perfect? That's
nope.
The cool part. No.
Nope.
He did not.
Exactly.
He still had pizza. He still has beer, or I don't know. Do you still have beer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he still has beer. He still has cookies once in a while.
Yep.
And still does some of those things, but not like the 250-pound Tom, where
nope,
it was...
not even close. And, you know, to be honest, I have not had a McDonald's, Burger King, anything along that line since I started this.
Oh, okay.
And there's that stuff's in my town. I don't even dwell on it. The grocery store I go to and the hardware store is all in the same complex with McDonald's.
Mm.
I don't even. It's not like it's I'm being cruel to myself to stay away. I don't even think about going in the joint. You know, I smell the French fries once in a while, but you know, I don't know if I've eaten a French fry since December. Not that I'm punishing myself to stay away from them. It's just. I kind of got it into my head that, you know, the food is fuel type thing, and I've kind of gotten away from that a little bit because now I'm cheating a little bit more because I'm considering myself in maintenance, but my weight, I've been at the same weight. I haven't gained an ounce in the last 7 days. I kind of watch it every day, but I don't plan on, you know, living at 180. That was not tough for me to get to, but that was a low point for me to get to, and I'll get back down there eventually, but I'm just kind of rounded up a little bit now, and just I'm feeling comfortable in my shoes. So I don't deprive myself of anything. If I want to buy this something, I'm going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just certain foods I don't even crave for anymore, and I don't even just want to bother with them. I think, you know, Karen and I used to love to go get cheeseburgers at a place here in town, a little local joint. haven't been there in a year, and I really don't care to eat a cheeseburger. I don't think I've had one.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, the food, does, I know it's nothing, there's nothing in there that I need, so I don't crave it. And if I'm going to go off the wagon, so to say, I'm going to do it with, like, a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
You know, something that I really get more enjoyment out of.
Sure.
To go make a meal out of something bad, I think, you know, we've had pizza probably twice in the last 6 months. In my first 6 months here, I was pretty hardcore. I stayed straight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything off course at all.
Oh, okay.
And then I kind of drifted off, you know, a little here, a little there, and
sure.
Here I am today. But, I have no regret. For the long-time consistency, you know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, I'm here, and I think I did it in a sensible way where you're not
right.
going crazy. Like I say, if I want something, Coach, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah. Well, I gotta put this to you, too, and remember, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but there'll be some people listening to this going, well, I mean, that sounds all well and good for you, but you aren't experiencing the different things in your life that I have. You know, it's, you know, you probably didn't have this and that and the other thing happened to you in the last 12 months that I have, and you haven't maybe experienced this and that in your life that I have. Was your life a bed of roses for the past 12 months?
No, not one bit. You know, Karen and I, our kids are up and grown and out of the house, and we have dogs in the house,
mm-hmm.
and we have Great Danes and a Doberman, and they live with us. They are our children,
mm-hmm.
and I've had Great Danes for 14 years now. And we lost Zoe last spring, and Zoe was a six-year-old female. She's laid in the same bed with us,
mm-hmm.
and it's just the love of my life. And she got cancer, and down she went.
Mm-hmm.
That was like February or March. March, myself, I went in for an ankle surgery, kept me out of work for 3 months. Is life in a bed of roses? No.
Yeah.
It's life. It is what it is. It comes every day. You take it, and you grab it by the horns, and what do you want to do with it?
Right.
So I grab it and go.
Well, that's just excellent attitude, and the point there obviously is everybody's got stuff, you know. And
every
there's,
day,
you know, every day there's stuff, and life's always going to be coming at you.
It doesn't stop.
It's a series of
stop. We're not here to be talking about it.
That's right. It's just a series of chaotic events broken up only momentarily by mm-hmm. peace. It's not the other way around.
Exactly.
Well, what's a typical day food like now? Or what was it like, say, during the action phase when you were doing the weight loss? Take us through breakfast through, you know, bedtime as far as food.
Well, actually, my meals now aren't much different than what they were then, except for an occasional cookie or something, or
okay.
a weekend beer or what sandwich or whatever. But fortunately for work, Karen, she prepares a lot of this stuff on the weekend, and I take a lunchbox to work because I'm building a high-rise building in downtown San Francisco, so I take everything with me. But generally, I leave the house with some kind of MRP shake in my hand and a big cup of coffee because work's an hour and a half from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave here about 4:30 a.m. By between 7 and 8, I'm munching on usually a power bar of some sort, a Zone Bar, a Pro Max, three or four favorites that I have.
Mm-hmm.
About 9 o'clock or so, 9:30, I'm getting into, there's a little Tupperware thing, about 3-4 ounces of chicken breast with some rice and some green beans or veggies, of broccoli, something. There's not so many veggies I eat, but my green beans and broccoli are just fine with me now. So I get about a half a cup of that, half a cup of rice, and about 3 or 4 ounces of chicken breast.
You flavor any of that with anything?
Maybe a little light soy sauce.
Okay.
And the chicken's cooked in like olive oil and garlic.
Okay.
Pretty basic. And then, 10:30, 11 is my official break, and I usually take canned tuna or chicken. It's chicken salad or tuna salad that Karen makes with no-fat mayo and, carrots and celery crunched up, a little pickle.
Right.
And I either eat it with Triscuits or Wheat Thins. Sometimes I get the light, low-fat version. Sometimes I don't, whatever Costco has.
Mm-hmm.
I just grab whatever's there. I don't get too freaky on the really low-cal, low-carb stuff.
Right.
I watch some of the really high-fat stuff, like mayos. I don't eat the full-fledged mayos anymore.
But right.
Crackers, I don't go too crazy. But I eat a certain dose every day. Karen's, she's counting them out and doing her thing. And so that's my snack in the morning is chicken salad or tuna salad with some crackers. And apple or orange. Usually there's one of each in my lunchbox. On the way home, I eat whatever's left of the apple or the orange and a sandwich. The sandwich is going to be roast beef or chicken or turkey on a light-type bread. With usually some jerky or some beef chunky nuggets that I get at Costco. And that covers me from about 4:30 a.m. till about 3 p.m. And then usually I'm working out at that point when I get home. And then dinner, we barbecue 8 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue's right outside the back door, and we stock up on chicken and fish. Fortunately, I'm a fish eater.
Oh, good.
So I eat lots of it and chicken, and I've cut back on my steak intake. Maybe now New York steak like once a week,
mm-hmm.
all the other times. And now, usually for dinner now, I take whatever I'm eating, 3, usually 5 to 6 ounces of whatever meat I'm eating and throw it into about 2 to 3 cups of lettuce, tomato, and just make a big, huge salad, like a hot salad, and that's what I've been eating for dinner for a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... Now, that to me, Tom, that sounds like you're eating, like, 9 times a day.
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people...
I'm a grazer.
Okay. That's great. I mean, that works really well for a lot of people. For other people... Yeah, you know, what you're going to see sometimes, you're going to see some people pitch the idea that you shouldn't snack between meals. And I think the whole mentality of that really has people screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's snacking, as in ding-dongs and ho-hos.
Right.
And there's grazing and always kind of teaching your body, especially the way you do it. My goodness, I mean, you're eating, I was kind of just sort of keeping track of your morning stuff. I think you've eaten like 4 times before noon.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my hungriest time of the day.
Okay.
And then afterwards, I don't really crave much.
Well, what's interesting is that one of the things I found is, and I'm not sure if you found this at all or if this has kind of registered with you at all or not, Tom, is what I find with people who do eat more often is it kind of helps retrain the brain, so to speak, not to panic about the next meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the next feeding, snack, you know, healthy snack, whatever, is coming in an hour and a half or a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like... I got to eat a big meal because it's going to be 6 hours before I eat again.
Right.
And that panic or that fear of being overly hungry and wondering when the next meal is going to come is a very common thing that we deal with, especially with a lot of new people who are used to that one or two meal mentality.
Oh yeah, I can't do that.
So that's a lot of meals. Now, do you have any beliefs at all, other than what the Leanest Lifestyle teaches about? You know, eating after supper, carbs or food or anything else?
No, and I've heard, you know, from the different gyms I've belonged to and different people, and don't eat carbs after this and don't do this after that and make sure all of your meals are exactly 40-40-20.
Yeah.
You told me a long time ago, just get it in you.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, you know, if I want to slam down a drink that's got 40 grams of protein and 2 grams of carbs,
right,
going to bed in a half hour, I'm going to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get too excited about, you know, watching every single macro at every meal. Because to me, it's almost impossible. But at the end of the day, when I used to log every single day, I've been doing it so great lately in the last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm,
but my meals are pretty dang close.
Mm-hmm.
And my calories were always about where they needed to be. But no, I just try to even it out at the end of the day. And as far as, you know, I don't want to call them myths, but it may be science. If you eat carbs after 6 p.m., you're going to grow up to be, you know, Godzilla.
Right.
I haven't found any of it to be true, but I can't disprove any of it, but because I'm not on the same regime every day, the same regimen every day.
Well, it's not true, of course, but if people believe it's true, so it's good that you're bringing the point up. I just wanted to see what you actually practiced, but no, as far as the, you know, you make sure you don't have any carbs after 6, there's a tremendous number of obese people out there eating no carbs after 6.
Yes. Usually I'm shy of protein towards the end of the day, and I tell everybody that asks me, you know, what are you doing, what have you done, and I tell them all, it's, you know, exercise, you got to have it, and it should be part of your daily regime, you know, regime anyway, but diet is the key to this whole thing,
mm-hmm,
and once you control that, you know, that's, you're on the right track, and usually, as I said, I don't care who you are, most people have a very hard time getting in 40% protein into their diet. There's carbs in everything. There's carbs in the air that you breathe. There's carbs everywhere. So most people don't get enough protein. So usually at the end of my day, I'm looking to slam some protein down. So I will generally have anywhere from 30 to 40 grams of protein within an hour of going to bed. That's just because I'm just, you know, somewhat deficient in that macro at the end of my day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, could I have made it better during the day? Probably. Have I bothered to tweak it? No.
Right. Are you eating more vegetables now? I mean, that's almost a foolish question than you were when you were 250.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't eat them then.
Yeah.
And there's days now where if Karen's working, I'll cook them myself. Unheard of. Unheard of.
Absolutely.
My mom, I mean, I was sitting there, we went out to dinner. My mom's going to be 81 years old, and I'm sitting there eating some broccoli with dinner at a restaurant about a week ago, and she just looked at me, she kind of laughed, and she said, I've never seen you do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very common thing. Another thing that I notice is in that the most successful leanest lifestylers that get and stay lean usually consume some kind of vegetables on almost a daily basis, if not multiple servings on a daily basis. And most of the successful lifestylers came from a position of saying, I'm just not much of a veggie eater. Mm-hmm. Or they came from I don't eat any, period.
I was pretty much there, and
yeah.
you and I had this discussion a few times, and you told me back then, put cheese on them. Do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Eat them. And I just said, Coach, I don't eat cheese either, so now what do you want to do? And anyhow, I just got into one I liked, and then I got into two I liked, and three I liked, and now they're just part of my daily routine. And if I don't get them, you know, if I'm away on a weekend or whatever, you know, I don't get panicky about it, but I just
yeah.
get back on track. And but now that they're on my plate, I don't care anymore. I just eat them. It's just part of what's there.
That's awesome. Well, what about activity? How much of your activity, well, how much do you do? How much of it's resistance training and cardio, or how much, and compare that maybe now to when you were actually losing the weight?
Well, I'm in the gym a bit. I try to I lift through my RT work. Usually, I go every other day, and I'm not really good at splitting up or changing my routines. I've done it because I've heard, you know, don't stay doing the same thing, and I keep finding myself going back to my old three-way body split. Generally, I'm lifting every other day, and on the days I'm not lifting, I'm doing some cardio. But every once in a while, I'll take a complete day off, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, I'll take a complete day off. And wherever I left off, I'll start back on that when I come back. So I usually do a three-way body split, which takes, you know, back and bis on one day, and chest, shoulder, tries another, and legs on a different day. So, for instance, if I did legs yesterday, and today I'm either going to do cardio or nothing, I won't do legs again until at least 7 days from yesterday. Maybe 8 days, maybe 9 days. I just pick up wherever I left off, depending
okay.
on what I had off and on. But generally, Tom is in the gym usually 5 days a week, six maybe, sometimes four, but generally five is a pretty good number.
Cardio total. How much cardio did you do?
I do cardio at 45-minute sessions.
45-minute sessions.
Yep.
And back when you were losing, you were doing them maybe a couple times a week, maybe?
Yeah, three usually, two to three, at least two.
Okay.
And then I was usually doing 30. I upped it to 45 when the summer challenge started. And actually, I've had my eighth ankle surgery this year. 45's kind of bugged me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Stair climber is about the only thing I can do. But I joined in the gym a couple weeks ago, and they got a pool, and I went lap swimming the other day. And talk about your rate going through the roof. At least for me.
Yes.
Putting some swim fins on and kicking on a board is one thing. You start putting your arms into the movement, you know, swimming on the board, Coach, I was running right around 120 beats per minute and can stay there for as long as I wanted. But now you start putting your arms into the action. Within half a lap, I was up to 145.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at these guys just swimming laps like otters next to me. I'm going, how do they do this?
Mm-hmm.
So I got something to look for. I got something to work at now.
Yeah, well, anytime you take and change the routine and you bring in something new, it can really make you feel like a beginner no matter how much experience you have at the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. And it'll make you feel like you're out of shape too, even if you're in reasonably good shape doing some other activity.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it, but it's
a challenge. I'm going to go down and swim today when I'm done with you on the phone. I'm
awesome.
Going to go hit it again because now it's something that I'm looking at. I can conquer this.
You ever feel the pull toward some really sloppy, crappy food? It sounds like I have pizza three times a month. Not three times a week, but three times a month I probably do. You've had it twice in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a pull toward some of the sloppier foods that others would consider tasty or treaty or whatever?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, and to be honest, I like my coffee in the morning. And there's a bakery on the corner that makes real killer homemade type stuff. And I used to get a cookie once a week. Then it got to be twice a week. And to be honest, I probably had a cookie there once a day for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
Even at the end of the challenge, I was getting one once a day. I'm like, you know, I'm going to the gym. The scale's not going up. The body fat calipers aren't going up. I'm going to have my cookie. As long as I can do this and there's no adverse reaction. I don't have a trigger where I eat one cookie and it sends me off the deep edge. I don't have that. But I do enjoy the cookie that I get.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that for a while now.
Okay.
But a big pull, you know, Karen and I, over this 4-day holiday, we had Chinese food last week for my first time since last December, and it tasted good, but, you know, it didn't rock my world. I mean,
yeah. There hasn't really been too many times, from what I gather, in the last year where you've had this incredible pull and you've had to do something to keep yourself from going to it.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your focus has just been, strong. I'll tell you, it's unusually strong, Tom, and I've told you that before.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. And it takes all kinds to make this world go around, and you make my job easier, no doubt about it, because when your focus is as strong as it is and you just have that drive and that laser-precise ability to just get to the goal, It's pretty unusual. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I think with everything being laid out, and to me, I wrote this in my essay, I can be pretty analytical. I can look at something and say, okay, if I understand, connect A to Z,
mm-hmm.
how it works, and that's all this program was for me, is just, one foot in front of the other and do what it says. And everything it did tell me to do, and I did, it came true what it said was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a complete circle, and it just worked. And I guess I may have it easier because I'm not an emotional eater.
Mm-hmm.
I just used to like to eat a lot of junk food in a lot bigger quantities than what I needed. So I may have it easier than some in that respect. But I was at that junk food big eating stage for a lot of years, and it took me a little bit to see how to get away from that. And here I am, 12 short months later.
What do you think? Typically, if at 6'1", 260 pounds, you're not really eating because you're hungry. And even though I think you've shown that you really don't have, I mean, there's a whole continuum of emotional eating. We're all emotional eaters. There's a continuum, though. I mean, on a 1 to 10 scale, you might be a 1 or a 2, mm-hmm. but there's still some there. But why would you say, what was the biggest contributor to your 250, 260 pounds before, since you're really not an emotional eater, so to speak? I mean, you're really pretty low on the scale. So what was it about those other foods? Was it just simply the taste? Was it just that you didn't know that if you did what you've been doing for the last year that you could get or stay lean? Was it that you didn't care? What was it? Why did you eat those other foods?
Well, and with the guys I grew up with, it was usually centered around pub food. Or you'd go to the deli that makes the biggest sandwich for $4. Or, they get the biggest, most quantity stuff there was. And it was just, half of it was hanging with the pack and going with the flow.
Okay.
Back in high school, we had Tuesdays was A&W chili dog days, and Thursdays was Herb's Deli meatball sandwich day, and Wednesday was Johnson Tamales, the tortilla day. Whatever it was, you just hang with the pack and go, and you just went, and now you're just eating for the taste. And if this guy, there was a time when years ago, Burger King or Jack in the Box had a 10-cent burger thing, 20 burgers max. We all went in and got 20 burgers each.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go sit around and just munch. Why were we sitting there munching on 20 burgers? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was a sociable thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't make sense that, the calories in, calories out didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have it in black and white that you get X amount of calories for what you're putting into your mouth right now, and then you'd have to burn. How do you burn that off? The food as fuel thing, that concept was not in me at all.
Right.
And it now just, I analyze everything because I drive people nuts with every labels, but, that's what I do.
Hey, when you were at your heaviest, Tom, what was your waist then?
Probably, I remember being 263.
Yeah, but, what was your waist?
Waist, I always wore 40, even 42 pants with my belly hanging over them.
Okay. And then, now, what's it now?
34s kind of hang on me, 32s a little tight, depends what brand they are.
Yeah.
I can wear a straight leg, I'm in a pair of straight leg Levi 34s right now, that's the tightest ones they make.
Mm-hmm.
34s, and they're a little loose.
Yeah, 34 straight legs are... Like you said, they're going to be about as tight as they're going to get in the waist.
I was wearing just a plain T-shirt. A lot of my shirts are mediums. And I went to Karen the other night, and I said, I don't know if I got buying shirts too small now or they've been washed a few times. And she just looked at me and said, no, your chest is filling out. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just, I don't know. Like I said, I put on a few pounds since the challenge ended. But shirt size, I'm in, mediums fit me a little snug. And large just kind of seemed to be baggy. Coach, I was a double X forever.
Right.
There's a little church bazaar thing at the end of my corner here. They love me and Karen. I don't know how many bags of stuff we have brought them. Every couple of weeks, we're just dropping off a couple more bags of clothes,
Have you taken the steps so that you've left yourself no retreat with regard to old clothes?
Oh, there is none in my house. There's none.
That's what I like. Full commitment. Just no retreat, no escape.
There's a few extra large T-shirts I kept because they're soft and fuzzy, and I use them for nightshirts.
Right.
But other than that, no.
They're gone.
There's nothing to wear at all. It's all gone. Unfortunately, I had a few funerals to attend about a month ago, and I went down to mm-hmm. nearest Macy's and bought some stuff, and Karen hands me a shirt. It was a large. Now, here's the case of the smallies coming up big time. She hands me a large, and a large ain't going to work for me. Because I've been wearing, sweats and crap for the last, I don't know how long.
Right.
And the large was too big. She hands me a medium. I said, now you're hurting my feelings.
Yeah, I know.
And I had to buy a medium shirt.
Yep.
And then a month ago, a couple weeks ago, I had to buy a new Carhartt jacket for work. And I went and bought a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine looked at me and says, "You're something's wrong. You can't even be a man and to fit into a large." And I said, what are you telling me here? I said, look at me. Look at my body. You telling me there's something wrong with this?
Mm-hmm.
As he's sitting there grubbing on a whatever he was eating.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Budweiser in his hand.
That's funny. Well, you talked about, you mentioned Karen several times, and I know in talking to you that she's also made a pretty dramatic transformation. But just, you know, briefly, how did it kind of rub off? Did it rub off?
Absolutely.
And if so, what kind of changes did you see, and how has it impacted Karen throughout your process of getting the weight off?
Well, when we first started back in December, she said, I'm going to go do Weight Watchers. And I said, that's fine. And probably by February or March, and she lost a good little chunk of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I kept telling her all along as I'm watching her eat, too many carbs. And she finally came over and said, okay, what do I need to do? And so I put her on as an associate with DLL, and she followed, and she logged. And to this, she's not a big logger anymore, but we buy the same food because we eat the same stuff and, you know, pretty much sit down for dinner together. Karen has gone from, I think she told me she was 202 pounds in December to her current 136, size 18 down to a size 6.
Wow.
She's not an exerciser or a gym person either, but she works at the post office behind the counter, and she's shuffling mail for her 6 to 8 hour shift every day, and she's very active.
Right.
But now being smaller, I mean, the activity is what she does. Doesn't bother her. She's very active, and she's not tired of doing that. You know, end of the day, you're tired, but you don't have that old heavy sloth feeling that, you know, we both used to have of just kind of being big slugs.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. 18 to a six.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Would you say 202 to 136?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, she lost just about the same as you.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost.
Yep.
Wow. That's just incredible. Well, what would you say to the person out there, Tom, who's 6'1", 260 pounds, and maybe this is their first attempt, first real structured attempt, or maybe this is their 15th attempt? Any words of advice or pearls of wisdom you can share with them about the leanest lifestyle and whether they should give it a shot? And not only just whether they should give the leanest lifestyle a shot, but whether they should give that their weight loss attempt a shot.
I would tell anybody that first I'd probably ask them if they wanted first they got to make the initiative to come and say, you know, it's time for me to lose weight. You're not going to talk anybody into doing something they don't want to do.
Right.
If they're sitting on the couch. If somebody were to approach me and say, I want to do something, what do I do? And if I were to ask them, what have you done in the past? I'd tell them what went wrong in the past, because I can pretty much tell you. You can name a program and tell me how it works right today as we speak, and I can probably tell you what's wrong with it or why it didn't work for you, just knowing what I know based on the LL. Anybody that wants to come in, I would say jump in and jump in with both feet, and don't be too overly critical on yourself for every little bump you hit in the road, because the first while there's going to be some bumps, so don't get too panicked about the bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the consistency of it. And for health-wise, I mean, I was running some pretty high blood pressure a couple of years ago, and to the point where the doc says, you're going to have a stroke. When I went in for my ankle surgery in March, my numbers were so low, they just looked at me and said, for your age, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And health-wise, to just lose weight in general, it's absolutely the best thing you can do. And to do it along the lines of the leanest lifestyle, to me, it was just simple. You just follow it, you do what's written, and just go. It's not difficult, but if you don't do it, you're not going to get the results.
You and I talked a couple of times, probably more than a couple of times in the past year as you were going through your transformation. Was it beneficial that you were able to kind of, for you, you're a very analytical, you know, sharp guy anyway, but was it beneficial to be able to clear up a few things in that manner? Because I think it was more a matter of, in our conversations, it was more a matter of just clearing up a few things rather than trying to completely reinvent the wheel or start from scratch every time we talked.
Exactly. The wheel was always a moving, and
right.
I just, where do I grab a hold of it and hang on to this sucker? I'd always call you for little things.
Yeah.
And I just learned over time, don't worry so much about the little things. You got to take them in chunks. You got to set your short goals and go for them and do them, but make the short one part of the big one. And I just kept biting at that apple and just kept going at it and going at it. And once you start seeing the results, which does not take long, but you have to be consistent and you have to work to get there, but once you start seeing them, then it's like a roller coaster.
Right.
And I started at the top, and I've been heading on that downhill slope for a long time. And you know, I used to graph my weight and watch that sucker. That's an amazing tool, that little weight graph.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
But all the tools are cool. I mean, I use them pretty much. There's not much I don't use in there.
Yeah.
Once you grasp that, and for everybody out there, that's the other thing I tell people. If you're going to do this, you really should get a broadband or a DSL hookup, because you won't be cussing so much in front of your computer.
Right.
Because you need to use the tools. And if you're on I use mine from work once in a while with a 56K, and I don't, you know, it just takes too long. If you got a fast machine, it's part of the whole deal here.
Mm-hmm.
You get on there, you get your tools working, and you get going. Because the tools, Coach, to this day, I'm on the nutritional analyzer every day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the lean account every day, but I'm in the NA every day. I'm adding foods. I'm doing whatever, and I may not do a whole complete day's worth of food. You know, then towards the end of the day, I may just not add whatever I had for dinner. But at least I knew where I was.
Right.
And that for me is the biggest tool that's there, because if I can see on there what percentage of whatever it was I've been doing. And I put in there good and bad. If I go to the deli and eat something off the wall, it's going to go in there. If it was my cookies go in there. You can look at my logs from way back when. The cookies that I ate that day, they're on there.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was the biggest tool for me to use and keep track of what I was doing. And once you see it, and once you can do it and live it every day, for me it was just easy. And it still is easy. And even now, in my somewhat maintenance going on here, and if, like I say, if I want to eat it, I eat it. I log it and plug it in, but I'm going to the gym, so...
It's all part
of it. It's a lifestyle now. It's if I start missing the gym, today I was going to take a day off because I had some other business things to do, and Karen says, you're not going to the gym? It was like it's a big deal to her.
Yeah.
I'm usually there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, life has changed, but nothing's wrong with it. It's just different. There's something I tell a lot of people. They just kind of look at me weird. It's like, you know, you're on this planet for one trip.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know when it's going to end. Make the best of it. And try to make it so you can be around the longest if you can control that. But
I couldn't agree more, and it's so very well said. And to be honest, I think this is where I'm going to end the interview, because I think that you closed it off quite well. Said some very powerful things that so many people can walk away from this interview with and have something really strong to hang on to. And you know, a lot of people can learn a lot of things from what you discussed on this interview today, Tom. I want to congratulate both you and Karen on your success.
Thank you.
And we'll be, following you guys and seeing how you guys do over the next year or so.
Okay.
And but I got to be honest, I have complete confidence that you're both going to continue to do incredibly well. I just think you have the perfect attitude. I think you have the right grasp of all the leanest lifestyle principles, and just couldn't say more about it. So congratulations again. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me, and we'll be in touch, and you keep in touch.
Coach, thanks for inventing this thing. I'll tell you, I'm sure it has been a lifesaver.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of The Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LEannLincoln, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, N as in Nora, N as in Nora, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, then lifestyle.com. That's www.LEannessLifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.